the 72. And what he deals with here, which by the way has many ramifications even to the non-immigrant community, not only Russian immigrants in Israel, but in general, the reliability of official documentation. Okay? What can we reasonably accept as trustworthy in official documents? Specifically, the question here is a birth certificate from Russia, modifications even to the non-immigrant community, not only Russian immigrants in Israel, but in general, the reliability of official documentation. Okay? What can we reasonably accept as trustworthy in official documents? Specifically, the question here is a birth certificate from Russia, indicating on which they do mention religion on their certificate. I mean, in America, this is not charis because religion is not mentioned. But it has ramifications for America as well, for other testimonies, for other facts that may have halachic ramifications, like a divorce or a death or so on. What reliability do non-Jewish documents have in Jewish law? That is really essentially what he's dealing with. But more specifically, there are issues in Russia, of course, which may complicate matters, but essentially he's dealing with that problem. And the bottom, New Dalit, Simon New Dalit, page 72, Tok von Halachosi Shirtu Udas Leila. The power or the validity of the halachic validity of birth certificate. To what extent can we accept them as factors? Amavakshim Hakoras Yadus, those who want to establish recognition as Jews, Matsigim Leitim Krovos of Mebezdin, often presents before the Beis Din to Udas Leida Morosia, a document, a birth certificate document from Russia, for Roshum. There it is listed the Om Ho'ein, the nationality of the mother, Yehudia. She's Jewish. The Herchoch Al Yedosa. And she is, of course, they know that in Judaism, the mother determines what the child is, and they bring a birth certificate from the mother showing that the mother was listed officially as Jewish. We have to deliberate halachically on the power impact, halachic impact of this document. The Indian Tokyo Power Kocha Shot Udas Roshomios Arimo Kvaho Achon Lodon. It is not a new problem, he says, because the idea, and of course, Jews have lived in Golos for many, many years, and over the past several centuries, particularly in Western countries and Central European countries, there's a lot of official documentation. Everything is recorded, births are recorded, deaths are recorded, by the statistics, marriage certificates, and so on and so forth. And therefore, the question has arisen long before recent immigration, how much credence can we give to these kinds of documents? The rabbis, Mr. Chubos, and there are many responses for Oskar, the Kach, the Kesher, the Hetagunas. For instance, the whole question of Aguna, and today Aguna is a misnomer. We talk about the husband doesn't want to give a get, which is not the traditional meaning of Aguna. Aguna meant when a husband got lost somewhere, we don't have what is required, evidence of his demise or something to be matter to be married. And well, if we have official documents, killed in action, the government sends a telegram, killed in action, things like that. What do we accept as valid? Lefikach mitstamtein de ikra dvorim, we will limit ourselves the overall and the main question, we will only focus, he says, on those in Yonan which are Magia, the immigrants with specifics. Mikor Hadin, the source, is a Mishnah in Gittin, which is very, very interesting. Let me read to you the whole Mishnah in the original because it is very interesting. 1 second. The mission says the following: Get out of the day. The first day. Kol hashtorah sa'olim be'akor. All the documents that come through the court shall obtain kachomim of Gentiles. Afapi shechosnehem of the kachomim. Even though they are signed, the signatures are also Gentiles. The sheirim are accepted, are kosher. Chutz miditanoshim v'shechur avodah. Except a get or a get shechur of an eved, when an eved is freed, which has laws similar to a woman's get, if Gentiles are signed on that, they're not accepted. Abshimin oimah, af eino kesherim, they're also kosher. The only time when they are not accepted, if they are done beheaded, a stama agoy sign, but not an official person, not a governmental person. Now, the big surprise is the second part of the Mishnah is Rab Shimon, but we don't pass him like Rab Shimon. But Rab Shimon obviously holds that an Akum is not possible either. The only reason why we don't accept him because he's Choshes the Shakya. He is suspect that he won't tell the truth. But there is no intrinsic store in an Akum to bear testimony, which is a remarkable symptom. Okay? Now the question is, what does the Tanakhama hold? The Tanakhama holds for Gittin not, but you accept the other story. So he obviously holds that a goy cannot sign. So why do we accept the testimony on official documents for monetary matters? All right.
Don't we have a thing that you can accept the goy says indirectly?
What?
If the guy says something indirectly, not because you asked for the testimony.
Masiyah lepitomo is not because. That's why you don't need Eidos. You just need the factual information. Gil and Mirza, so the Masiyah you accept it. But not when you require actual Eidos. Alright? Now, the Gemara explains, according to the Tanakhama, why do we accept the accord, okay. So he must say it like this. The Gemara says that the shtar is a hechocha, the e loy hayev, for instance, there is a shtar, a document, a court document that a Reuven lent Shimon a good amount of money. And they said this is what happened. And they officially confirmed it. So the most that we can accept it, if Reuben would not have given the money to Shimon before them, lo have maren nafshaya, the custom is store, they would not have risked their reputation, whatever it is, to write such a falsehood if they are an official government agent, if they're official alcohol. That is the assault. Now he is going to discuss what does it mean. Are they afraid they will be caught? Are they afraid of their covers? Well, then this is he's going to discuss also. What is the Romana Nafsha? They will not make it bad for themselves. In what way? In what way? Of course, they'll make an afterminer when that way is not applicable in a certain situation. Okay? In other words, what Mara Nafsha is will determine under what circumstances it's applicable and what circumstances it's not applicable. Okay? Alright. So that's the story. This is the story that we accept a document from a court from legally constituted bodies that are gender. So he says, whether the acceptability of these documents has a halachic status in our Shulchan Aruch, in other words, al kidin, we accept the testimony of the Akol, because within our own halachic framework that is sufficient testimony, or if it's a konot hachom. Some Rishonim say that any kind of testimony or any kind of evidence derived from Gentile testimony is midaraisa, not acceptable, but the Rabbonim instituted its acceptability in order to facilitate commerce or to facilitate a normalcy, because Jews living in the Golos, if they wouldn't have that, it would almost impossible to do anything, because we don't have always Jewish botabinim and Jewish facilities available. So the Rabbonim, based on the Mara Nafsha, based on a concept, on a human nature concept, found it sufficient to legitimize this kind of testimony in order to facilitate the normal process of commerce with him. Miktas the Rishonim Sovereign, some of the Rishonim hold Shinem Monim Betoras Edith Minator, that Akum believe Minator, okay, Mitzat Edith. In other words, there are some Rishonim who hold that the Tanakh Kamma is not Mechulik on Rab Shimon the Etzem Adin. What did Rab Shimon say? Rab Shimon said we even accept them on Git. That means they're not possible to rise. So some Rishonim say that the Tanakh Kamma is really not Mechulik on Rab Shimon. He holds Minator Akum Amnem on Eden. No, but then we don't believe them. Because of Sheker. For instance, I'll give you an example. For instance, we don't accept Anogea Bedobra as an Eder, a Jew who has a conflict of interest.
Two brothers.
That's a possum. It's a possum, it's not possible, even if Moshe Rav Aaron is possum. I'm talking a Jew who is not possum, it's not Atma. But it's Anogea Bedobra, it's a conflict of interest. We don't accept his testimony. You know, that means that he is an apostle or Eder, but he will have to be responsible. In this particular case, we don't accept. Akum is that it's acceptable. But since most are in Ashakonim, we know it's not Mishakon. But not because there's a psul in the Etzim Gavra, that kind of a person falls away. So the Tanakhama holds, according to those who are showing them, like Abshimon, that there is no psul with a Raisa on an Akum. Why don't we accept the Akum? Because they're Chazukah de Ashakonim. So comes along the Sporah of Loiber al Anafshe, an official will not want to make it bad for himself, that takes away the lie. Shimon made his name, but I'll say it. Okay?
How close to Shimon could be forgiven? You still need the actual form to get to the forgiveness.
Oh! But he could sign on the guest.
Or he could sign on the actual
one. On the actual one. Yeah. But he has to be our court.
it is a headbill.
Because
a headbill, of Shimon says, is a shakha.
He hasn't got that. He could
sign on the forgery.
Yeah.
But of course, we're not signing on the forgery. The Tanakhama holds that by this we have eliminated this altogether. So the shaila is whether the Tanakhama eliminated because he holds he's mechulik, the Esrim al-Din of Shimon, that the Akhum is like a portal. Or, according to those who are showing in the hold that the Tanakhama doesn't argue with Rav Shimon. Then the Raisa, Akhum is Nemon. By Gittin, the Rabbonah didn't want to fool around. But in the moment, the Rabbonah said, if it's Me'ah Nafshah, you don't have to worry about it. If it's Me'ah Nafshah, then he's Edith with the Raisa. That's one shifter. Yesh, Rishonim, Hasdoivrim, Shinemonim, Ato, Shlebetar, Zedek. Ehle, Mishum, the Chazok, Shinem, Mishakram. The Chazok is the Teufel Kishne Eidem. Other Rishonim hold, no. The Tanakhama holds that our goal is puzzling. But, since we know human nature, it's like a Rubu de Lesser Kamon, like we learn. We know human nature, that a person in an official position will not make it bad for himself. So it's not because we believe him as a witness, we believe him on the Chazok that the person won't do that. Ergo, he's never as chazok and not as Eidus. But this chazok is as good as Eidus. Because we learned before, if you remember, that a rubu the lesser come on. Such a chazok can be moist a moment, like Eidus. If we have a chazok, for instance,
Ain't
Adam Porachotos Mana, we had before chazok, Adam doesn't pay during before the debt is due. On that basis, the person can be moist a moment. He comes and brings Eidus that he lent, Reuven comes with two Eidus, he lent Shimon money. And the Eidus say, he lent them, $1,000 and he made up for them to pay in January, he made up to pay him back in August. So the man says, yes, it's Emmet, I borrowed money from him, he comes August to collect, but I paid him back in April. So we have a chazoka, ain't the Pareya Choyva Peter's mama. So he can go and be moist a moment from him, on that chazoka. So you see, a chazoka which is based on human nature is such a strong chazoka that you can be moist a moment, which normally you need to aid it. He says, if the Gemara, the Mishnah holds that an official in the Akkoz, lo mera nafshi, will not make it bad for himself, that is such a strong chazoka, that with that document you can go and collect money with it. But it's not Eidus, because the goy basically is false level. Okay? That's the second shifter. Yesh Rishonim, but the other Rishonim, Hasdoivrim, Shenemosam, Ein Eilam, the Rabbonim. Like I said before, the Rabbonim, in other words, there is a shikala chazoka, the Chachomim wouldn't, some of the rest are in, they wouldn't say, believe a God. But since there is such a thing as Me'ah Nafshah, the Rabbonim felt confident enough to make a takona for commerce and in order to preserve normalcy, that on that basis, we can collect. But with the Raisa, really, you wouldn't be able to collect. But after the Shittas Eila, even according to these Shittas, Epshah Shekayem is a Chocham in HaTorah, Shittim HaShakram. And you still believe that they don't lie. El Hashem Larai is the Tokhah Shal Eidus. He doesn't have Eidus. So normally you need Eidus for most of the moment. But since in our Torah there is a level of Nemonis that is sufficient for the Rabbonah to institute the Takona, that with that amount of Nemonis you can collect money. In other words, all that the Takona says is, the Rabbonah said, in this instance, you don't need a mnemonis of two Eidus, and less a mnemonis of Lomer HaNafsh is sufficient to make them. That's the Rabbonah. It's very interesting. I will skip here the next part, which essentially repeats the concept. But the chiddush he comes up with is very interesting. He says, the difference will be
If you hold that the Akum is the Eid in the Torah, or you go only by the Chazaka, then after the minute will be if you have only one God, one signature, one judge signed the document. If you say it's the Torah's Eid in the Torah,
then you need two.
Then you need two. But if you say it's a Chazaka Lamer and Afshe, what's the difference of one or two? It's not Eidim anywhere. It's based on the Chazaka that the person, that position, is not going to lie. See, because we're not familiar with this one person, not the 10 people. It doesn't make any difference. So it's very interesting. So if you hold that the moon is Mitzat Ezers, we need two. If it's Mitzat Chazaka, you have the Chazaka based on one also. The judge is not going to say a lie. Because you never know that. He brings from the Rabban, which is a beautiful Zahir in Halach. Let's go to number three there, where he focuses on the third chitter, namely that midaraisa takir there is nothing, there's no, we don't have enough to go midaraisa. But midarabonam, but it states that Meranavshu the Chachomim felt confident enough to institute midarabonam to be most a moment with that star. Yesh merashoyna, and in the bottom he gives you the footnote. That is Toysvus, and the Toysvus the Rosh, and the Ram. They hold that there's no mnemonic really. Acholkim, who disagree with Sogram, and they hold, Shine mnemonic v'akor is Einem in HaTorah. It's not for the Raikon. Elem Tachonot Chachomim. He says, Shittas Eilu, according to these positions, Kashen Nidreshes, Ayas Eidem, when you need Taka Eidem, Ein tokov lishtor akor. When you need taka mamish eden, he says it's not going to work. The tokov on eina ele bemukroim shemetzin eshtik achom lamina. In other words, if you hold the third shitta, that's the rabbonon, you cannot be medamin yusel emirsel. You can't say, the rabbonon made this eden. No. Wherever the chachomon uses, that's when you can use it. But you cannot from that any time I have that kind of testimony, the Chachomim made it like Eidus. No, there's no such thing. You obviously see what he's driving at. If we will hold that the mnemonic for verifying the Jewishness of a person, remember before there were several shittos. What do you need to verify that the person is a Jew? Do you need one Eid? Is enough, three need two Aden, etc., etc. He says, if you hold that the verification of Jewishness requires two Aden, as is our assumption before, then according to the third shittah, that would not be sufficient. A te'udah of birth certificate, even if it comes from our core, from an official, legal, Department of Justice, whatever, would not be sufficient. If you hold the first two, either that a goy is an eidah, or B, that it is a chazoka, which is comparable to eidahs, or human nature chazoka, then that would be sufficient even to verify his Jewishness. But if you go by the third shittah, that it's neither eidah, nor is it a full-fledged chazoka, it's only enough to go on that the Rabbanon said accepted. Where the Rabbanon said accept it, fine. Where they didn't say it, it doesn't work. Therefore, to verify Jewishness, if you hold that you need Eidim, that would be insufficient.
And according to the first sheet, that it is Eidim, you would need to have two signatures on the document.
Then you would need two signatures.
Otherwise,
it would be worthless. And according to the second sheet, it would be enough fun according to the Rabbanon. Because you build it on the Chazaka. But according to the third sheet, you can have 100 signatures in one house. Because it's not real Eidus, and it's not, the Chazok is not 100%, so you only use it by Momonos, where the Rabbanon gave us that leeway. But when the Rabbanon didn't do it, we could not use that. Yeishma Poskim Shekosu, some of the Poskim notes, Atlas, Wom Shnei Monos HaKosu, the Rabbanon, Ein Ze Elo, that the Midrash is Rayish Me'edim. where you need mamish to aid it, there is such a shirta. Aber kul avu moiden, the chazoke is min ador. And here he elaborates again that there are some who hold that the Chazok is Medaraita, that's Meniz at this point. But he'll come back later to the basic principle whether in our case, where we have to establish the Jewishness, whether it be workable or not. The next question he deals with, what is called a court? Does it mean only a judge? Does it mean a minister, a governmental agency? Does it mean a notary? What does it mean? In other words,
I mean, how far do you go down?
How far down can you go? Our cause means somebody
court,
who...
public official? Or
somebody who lays out the law. Alright? Now the Akkos, the term Akkos is usually applied to
civil courts,
to secular courts, Akkos. Now the question is, what is called Akkos? It's something official, but where going down the line, you know, like we talk about executives or government in the upper levels, middle levels, lower levels, at what point does that Loimera Nafsha of our cause disappear? Okay? And this is the next issue that he's going to deal with. Very interesting how we analyze this. in Hebrew, I often the lawyer. But it's not our cause. It's the hyphenated. Or of sin. Alright? Our cause is not hyphenated.
The practice is
law. Our cause is where the law is decided. The Orach Din stands before the Akkos and argues this case. Nechleku Rishonim Apostim Akronim begin Akkos. So the Poskim debate the issue, what is considered Akkos? Yesh Akkos, who will summarize Akkos in Ele Shokti Mugamidwa. That means Mamish. Only judges, court, an official court. Of course, I don't think it would make a difference whether it's a Supreme Court, or a Federal Court, or a State Court, or a City Court. As long as they have official status as judges in the society in which they operate, it would be Akkos. Yeshikosu, others wrote, Shekol Memunim Mitam Hashulta, Lenahil Rishon, anyone appointed by the government to administer registration, Yeshikosu Memunim Akkos. Let's say the registrar in City Hall for, like you have here, the one who registers marriages, deaths, and so on and so forth. The officially government-appointed registrar would also be considered a cause because he, delegated to him is a government function. It is officially a government function, and therefore it would fall under the category of a cause. Yesh Shechilko, others who differentiate the Dregas Aminu Shel Oysa Mamuna, who say yes, an appointee who has been delegated to supervise and to issue documentation is also a cause, but it depends. The minu bedregi gavoa is a cause. If it's a high level official, it does have a cause. Aber minu bedarge nemocha in a cause of elemena. The question is, what is a high level and what is a low level?
Where do you differentiate?
There's a dividing line.
So he goes into, he tries to rationalize it to some extent. the Shof, the Mokam Mishpat, the judges who actually sit in court, the Kulal Mehim Akkor. Everybody agrees they are Akkor. The Hengelo Sharashi Shom Akkor is Mokam Beis Va Dayonim Kavuim Shalahem. They don't have to be federal judges appointed by the government. Because I'm looking for it for, they are caused a loishim coming on Melach or coming from the Abedina. It doesn't make any difference whether the government appoints the court or they have been elected by the people. You know what I mean? It doesn't make any difference. And typically, the Yom Lasa is if the people have the power to appoint judges. So the whole inner kishir, the Lomar Nafsha. The same psychology, the Lomar Nafsha, applies whether it is a judge who is appointed by the President of the United States or it is a judge who has been voted in the state or in the city by the people. It would be the same thing.
The justice of the peace also?
Huh?
The justice of the peace also? Or is it just a name?
Well, you have it in
the justice of the peace has the judicial powers. He can perform a wedding and things like that. That would be a judge probably also, because the judge has an official, he is a judge. The memuna mitam ha-shiltam she'en ha-shoftim, but those appointees who do not have the aura of judgeship, but are functional officials appointed by the government, the Chora Kayem is Machloike, seems to be Machloike. Because the Gemara there says, the Knufid Amor Indian Karakor, a gathering of Gentiles, it's like a club or a group that makes this decision is not considered our court. Now the question is, what does Knufid Amor mean? Yes, Machoina Mama Forshim Shikutamor, Haina, call the Munna Mitama Malchoshim Shoshu. Some are Machna and say that any ordinary appointee, clerk of any sort, who doesn't have the title or the aura of judgeship, alright, is not considered our court. And he calls that Terech Chachomim, that's considered Hadjoitis, ordinary people. I suppose the logic behind this is that they don't have that much at stake. That was the lower the position, the less the concept of Maranatha is applicable. Of course, we will see later on, he also discusses what is considered Maranatha. We will see that. Abel Horitzvo, the Horitzvo learned, Mokoy Mishigdolehem Miskapsim Mishvoy, their elders get together to judge, Shlav Yimela, Obutor Zaroh. The Horitzvo defines Knufi Daramoy, a temporary gathering of elders who make decisions, but not permanently appointed judges. Which means that anybody who is permanently appointed according to the law of law would have the law of our court. In other words, the criteria is not the level of power, but the criteria is whether it is a permanent person or whether this is like
convention or something?
Or a panel, the jury, or a panel,
panel.
A panel, you know what I mean? Because they really, again, the theory being that there's really no Maranakshya state here. Because today they're in, tomorrow they're out, so it's not, it doesn't have that aura for them.
Not losing something.
It has an aura for them. So according to the Ritvah, it's not so much what level of power, but what level of permanence they have. And therefore, according to Ritvah, one would be tempted to say that even a lower level appointee, but if the appointment is a permanent one, it would be accepted as our cause, and his documentation would be accepted. And he said he finds Akin the Rishonim. For instance, he quotes the Ram, the last paragraph on page 74. Ubizman hazeh hasofer hamemuna min amelach yishu min akor. A official scribe. Don't forget, in those days they didn't have printed forms and all those. So if you needed the document, you had to go to sofer. I mean, not our kind of sofer, but sofer meant the scribe. All right? Now, if a certain scribe is appointed by the government to write out these documents, then according to the Ram, if it's a permanent position, he has the halacha of the court. Because he has something at stake, he has an appointed job, and he would not write out the false document. So this was an official government position. V'chein koso hamiyuchas l'refosho, a commentary which is associated with the refor, akor is the solution, oicha hadayonet. Oicha hadayonet is like lawyers. That was officially government lawyers, let's say. Shadakha mishiva mokam shah yukhulim shah mishastim dalem for yisot kukulim shah. They took care of the document. The umma zois koso I don't know what they're going to do.
Baal
something. Yeah, Baal also knows, that's the name. Well, Hobo Betur, obviously one of the Rishonim, the Tur brings it, with a different call, Eila Hashdura, Shekhoisrim HaSoifrim, Eila Hemdina Kol. Abhishim Amunim Ti Hashem, Gim Shein Asim Nifin Hashem. On the other hand, there are Rishonim rules that permanence alone and government appointment alone is not enough. They have to have some status as judges in order to be authentic. Bishara Subhas Maram Padua, he writes that there is really no machoike. So if a masha di bahatua, haina hanoit hamamunu min ashoike. So if a masha di bahaman is the moshe. He says the difference is this. Asha Rabu, Kumar Rabu, Bukhali, Mukha Mishpat, the Yukha Koi. The Ram Padua was a little more scientific already. He says it depends who appoints the Sofer. If the Sofer is appointed by the government, then he says, in other words, he says that there's no Machlokes in the Rabban the other way. They talk about different kinds of Sofer. The Sofer was appointed by the government. Ishtak has a din of Akkoi. But the sofer who is privately appointed by a judge, in other words, he's appointed by a government appointee.
Yeah, doesn't go a second or dragon.
Just already the second
shady the protocol.
That's already not in it. In other words, the government appoints the judge, and you pick your staff. The judge goes ahead and employs Hanyankel to be his sofer. Mm-hmm. He says that is not going to be our court because he doesn't have a government position. He's the secretary to the judge. But if the government appoints the sofer, then the sofer is directly responsible to what? To the government. Therefore, he has a din of akura. That's the shit of the Ram Padua. And he says, the Shifi Hamaram Padua loy kol notaraya nu akor. Not every notary is akor. Baraki Mamunim et Hamashilta. Now, I don't know, a notary today, if they are empowered, who empowers notaries? Like in the drugstore, that was a notary.
They
give
you a certificate.
The local government.
Now, for instance, in England, I remember, I lived in England as a kid, I remember we had certain documents before we left England to America. There are maybe two, three notaries in all of London. I don't know if it's today, but at that time. They really had a very powerful position. And not everything, every Hanyaka thing is notarized. Only very important is that they certainly would be a court.
Most of the lawyers who were notaries, There were lawyers.
They had a letter? I remember we had to go to the special office in the city somewhere.
I know, I went to a notary in England. And
how long ago was that?
Back in the 50s, early 50s. It was a lawyer who was a notary.
That is not the notary public. It can also be a lawyer. It doesn't necessarily have to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
You happen to have one, they happen to be a lawyer.
Well, there's a little woman there in the drugstore, and I'm there. Whether that would be considered our cause, very doubtful.
What they do is they have to pass every 2 years or 3 years,
they have to
register, but the state is making sure there are no complaints or problems and so on.
Well, what they do most of the time, they authenticate their signatures. That's essentially what it is.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really have the authority to authenticate a document.
Yeah, but would we accept that the signature is the signature of the person? First of all, the question is, if you sign in English, is your signature halakhically valid?
Whatever signature would be accepted.
No, I'm just saying, on a get, if you would sign your English name, would it be halakhically valid?
No, it's not here. That's the way you call it. Because the get, do you think that's the union?
The main purpose is that the Roman public notarizes that you personally appeared before him.
That's right. And signed in front of him.
That's it. So they really have no power in terms of authenticating it. Certainly they wouldn't have
it. It's identification. So they don't read the document. They just make you sign in front of them.
Some of them, and they say that you sign down before me. The highest to do it.
I'm sure they're learning to sign in front of them.
He's not at all.
No, but if you need to know that this signature was copied from that person to avoid forgery, if you were probably worried about forgery, would you accept that as that it's not a forgery?
You ask for identification. If you must, you ask for identification. He shows you his driver's license. This is his name.
And he sees his correspondence.
He signs
it over the phone. In the venue, you have to have an account in the bank.
Because
you got to take money out.
I want to be sure that
No, not money.
No,
they don't have
money.
Just time.
More
anyway, it's very questionable whether something like this would be considered our cause. But nobody, I mean, it comes to the certificates, the birth certificates, of course, they have no power whatsoever. They just enjoy their society, it doesn't mean anything. Now he goes into the question, what is considered a maranash? What maranash? What is that? He says the Gemara is the Akor is the modern mission to the Maranafsh. Because they won't make it bad for themselves. Again, we find different shittas in the Rishonim. What does it mean, the Maranafsh? Yes, if you're so Pirshu, Shakur, Bushi, Lemshit, Pitikashoka. It's a pride of pride. In other words, they would be terribly embarrassed if it comes out in public that they did something wrong. It's the human dignity, you know what I mean? The problem. The Zela Shon Mari, the Afa Gaftim Hoyim Mishaka, the Hoyim Agiela Nizikra, the Mazilzo. In other words, the Vera Nafsha means even if they wouldn't lose financially seriously as a result of the Apilahocha Amarinam, Kimishu Dayan, Lohoya Mayor, Ede Sheker, or Poyam Eskaroida. In other words, you see something very interesting from this. The universal nature of COVID. That even the Akum, who might be prepared to steal or anything else, but for Kovat that is mischief. Won't do.
With the whole
deployment
going on and the judges
and
everything,
but that's not the average.
Yeah, but you can still say a rogue judge. Doesn't
it?
Yeah.
You can still say by far the rogue judges are not.
Majority. The government was so naive to say that won't be a personal take.
Yeah, but the majority, they don't do it.
But normally they won't do it. As a matter of fact, we will soon have in the next segment where he says where there is a shash of shorchat, where the tzedua, that the judges take shorchat, then this would not hold true anymore. Not necessarily.
Oh, that's the shorchat, the same as the shorchat.
Yeah. ובשאל שובת עתרת חכומן, הרי שאין כלל לאח של צד אומדנה שירה מאוינת. We cannot be matter some of the days they are afraid of the punishment. The aim of the rock to give a chazal should be more than my rubbish and love our lavsha. The hind of choishish and bekoid asma. They are worried about their covers. The bilift of shek of eid and amas and shenigmur ben ish nareya bepneh. But something that happened before me. Aber the Rishonim of the Poskim was so new. But we do find other Rishonim of Poskim, Sheyesh has told that those who hold that of course the morning mishum shechoshishim min ha-malchus yitofet kishoshim. Because they're afraid that the government is going to punish them if they are found that they are to shechoshim. Lepi kishim nitzige ha-malchus v'shoshim on shim chomo in itmus of kishoshim. Because government officials are usually more vulnerable for punishment if they are caught than an ordinary thing. I mean, they're less likely to be forgiven unless they get a pardon from President Bush, but otherwise it's not likely to happen, okay? The chain cost of a ritual, a cause none, the clear, the woman in the Meshach and Meshach, she has to put a nozzle in, can a cause in the Meshach and Meshach, she has to see with my mother.
Coming out with a certain state, there are many shilohs. Can you believe a Gentile doctor tells certain things?
Because it's a poor nefesh, you know. Or because it's a poor nefesh.
Well, you may never come to a poor nefesh, but if you think it's a poor nefesh, or that sometimes middle shilohs will tell you that it doesn't come in Amoko, or it doesn't come in Amoko, or whatever. So, can you believe in the man? Coming out of a certain state, and many shilohs, can you believe a Gentile doctor who tells certain things?
Because it's a poor nefesh, you know. Or because it's a poor nefesh.
Well, he may never come to a poor nefesh, but if you think it's a poor nefesh, or that sometimes middle shilohs will tell you that it doesn't come in Amoko, or it doesn't come in Amoko, or whatever, so can you believe in the man, alright? And in certain instances, we use that concept of that the person will not risk his ummah. That he knows that if he is malpractice, and if he is called malpractice, it may affect his own practice and so on and so forth. There are certain things, for instance, factories, there are certain expertise testimony that it contains this ingredient or that ingredient or other things. And you believe them because even there has business. If people find out that the company is a shaker, then you lose out to the bargain market, because other people will say they're not responsible for this and they're responsible for anything else. Okay? So a person will not jeopardize, that is the word. A person will not jeopardize their professional reputation normally, even for a temporary gain. But some say that is the reason. It's not covered, but it's the professional standard. Right? Furthermore, Nachmet will have shown us that also Mahmoud will show us. Now, in Shorah's Lamaran of Shayur, whether that concept that they will not put themselves in harm's way, Kayemes Hakamash Nashabitman, if that applies only things that were conducted before them, they will not lie. It's just a matter of what was said before them in Bomar and Afshana. The Hashudim are caused the Shaka of Elohim Mishnevo, Afshalonim Bomar. Or Shema Abalam Mira. What is the difference back here? What is the difference between Amir and Mike? Because
Yeah.
It doesn't make any difference. Nobody is there other than that and nobody else. The parties will contradict them anyway if they can't make a difference. The difference is this, that a maestro is more ingrained in the memory. You know, if something happened, and you saw who was Gibson Mammon, you can remember. A statement, you thought you heard that, but you really said something else. How often do people say, I'm sure he said that. Somebody comes along, hey, wait a minute. You find in the Gemara, he says the name of Rav this, and the other person says the name of Rav something else. I mean, they're both honest people. They must have got to see it as well. They must have got to see it as well. But something that happens to a person is less likely to lie about something that happened before them, when the parties were there, say, hey, wait a minute, you saw it happen, they're less likely to do it than when it was a verbal statement, and say, you're making a mistake, you don't remember this and this, you know what I mean? So there are a certain rule that only when they are called them on the reenactment of something that was done before them, but something that was said before them isn't necessarily follow the rule. The Nachman at Tzavos, for instance, he says a Tzavos, a not a written world, but a verbal world. Now, would they be believed? They are called that Mr. X made a Tzavos before them such and such. If we hold only a nice, it's a different story. But if it's a verbal statement, then our court would not be sufficient to make us act in the Jewish court in that case. And the Chiddush of Mishneh, a person had a great debt, and he was murdered. He was in a murder. The government was against the Jews, and the judges were against the Jews, and they were prejudiced. And the only way Jews could survive is by Shoah. So that was just a part of the blessing. In fact, I never was able to trace the tshuva, but somebody mentioned to me that there was a tshuva of the ladies, that somebody was asked whether he's allowed to bribe the judge, and that was based on the thing that normally the judge is talking against him. I give him the bribe, maybe he'll be fair. I mean, I'm not bribing him to go in my favor. I'm bribing him to balance
to make it
the anti-Semitism that would normally turn him against me. The bribe maybe will make it even.
I'm being dishonest to make him honest.
Exactly. What do you mean the person who shows up as
leader?
That's the guy's problem.
In certain cases, you have to do it.
To give a shot at the God. I don't know.
If I'm talking about Jews, definitely. Yeah. No, available Shmuel. What particular is available Shmuel?
Shittas the Rambah, we bring the Rambah, and the Ramah, and the Ritvo, and voting against me, the bride vegetables will make it even.
I'm being dishonest to make him honest.
Exactly.
What
do you mean
the
part of
the
Shokal
Shiva?
That's the Goy's problem. Shittas the Rambam, we bring the Rambam, and the Ramah, the Ramah, and the Rezvor, and the Rez, the Ein Akos, the Monin, Elekish, Yidua, Shinoi, and Shoyfa. Only when they don't take Shoyfa. The Zel is on the Rambam, the first Rambam. וכן צריכם עד ישראל שיעידו על אלה הגויים שהם עד השדר וזה השופט שלהם שכאן מדוצן שאין הם ידועים בקבול השופט רב את זה תרש that the only time you accept the document from our court is two Jewish Aden say we know the sport we know the people that sign and we know they don't take credit in other words the decision מקורקם אמר שנעשה לפניהם לא ישנה כאן בחמי שויחד ורבא מנפות מתנגד לו it's like this שויחד is usually taken for judgment call two parties come before the judge to present his testimony to them today and the judge is to make a decision if he has שויחד in an area of judgment it can go either way the שויחד will determine if he goes that way but deliberately something that happened before them and go and say that's Maranash. In other words, even a Baal Shoicha is afraid not to be Maranash, not to make a bad for himself. In a judgment call, he can get away with it. But a vice of his Nehem is not going to take the chance and lie. So the Rosh Shitta is that even a Goyish call, which is suspect of Shoicha, nevertheless, in a situation where Maranafsho, like when something happened before them, would still be believed, so the Rosh is in the Chulik and the Rambam Shiva. Yeah. Then he goes into Turkey there, that Turkey was known for the Kabbalah Shoichat, and they say it was so bad there, that the Poskim even called to the Rosh wouldn't accept anything in the Turkey.
Even for action in front of Belgium.
And I want you to know, but a vice of his mayhem is not going to take the chance and lie. So the Rosh Shitta is that even a Goyish call, which is suspect of Shoichat, nevertheless, in a situation where Maranafsha, like when something happens before them, would still be believed. So the Rosh is in the Chulik and the Rambam Shitta. Then he goes into Turkey there, that Turkey was known for the Kabbalah Shoichat, and they said it was so bad there that the Poskim even called to the Rosh wouldn't accept anything in the Turkey.
Even for action in front of Belgium.
And I want you to know, I know Maitre Shehola, my late father, Rav Sholem, at one time, I remember the little boy had a Turkish passport. He was never in Turkey. He didn't know a word of Turkish. He hardly knew. He happened to be a very alert individual, so he knew from the map where Turkey was. That's about all he knew about Turkey. He had an uncle, a father's uncle, who was a real dealer. Unbelievable individual from the stories I heard. I never knew him. And he became friendly with a Turkish consul in some city, either Poland or Germany. And in order, not only the Turks, but in the World War I, in the early period of Hudson, then
Now he raises the question.
I'm going to think that there's a deeper protection here.
Now he raises another question. What happened in a subject matter where Shochat is not like this? For instance, a testimony that a woman's husband died. Now, what is the Shochat? The Shochat could be that the woman paid him off to tell him that she wants to get married. He says, that is very unlikely. Because the Chachamim made all the kulot by Aguna, except the Eid Echot, except the Eid Isha, all these things, because Isha daigo uminsego. It was based on the idea that the woman to remarry, she's very worried. And she wants to establish the fact, because she knows the consequences, if it turns out that the husband is alive, because the Mishnah says, taste the mezuah is the Mishnah is involved. If what happens, if on the basis of that flimsy testimony, let's say, any kind of testimony, now, what is the shorachas? The shorachas could be that the woman paid him off to tell him that she wants to get married. He says, that is very unlikely, because the Chachamim made all the kulot by Aguna, except the Eid Echot, except the Eid Isha, all these things, because Isha daigo uminsego. It was based on the idea that the woman to remarry, she's very worried. And she wants to establish the fact, because she knows the consequences, if it turns out that the husband is alive, because the Mishnah says, taste the mezuah is the Mishnah is involved. If what happens, if on the basis of that flimsy testimony, let's say, any kind of testimony. The woman remarries, and then the original husband comes back alive and kicking. She's off at the boat, and she loses everything. Therefore, the husband says, Isha daiga umintabo. She's very concerned, and he assumes that she investigated all the facts properly. So if you base the whole kula in Ages Isha on the idea that the woman is diagnosed, but she's going to bribe the judge to give her false papers. Even on true papers, she's worried, and she will investigate to make sure. And certainly she's not going to take the chance and bribe the judge on a lie. She says, in such a situation where we can safely assume that Shochat is not operative, then you would be able to believe a court even that normally takes Shochat. Because they don't have a halacha of still the answer. Because, like you said before, all going would be acceptable for ages according to one shittah. But they lie. In the case where we know they don't lie, what? In other words, hereby ages isha, where there is a strong umdaman, a strong assumption, that a woman would never do that, not that the going wouldn't take money, but she would never do that to give. Then we can accept it as the testimony of God's word. A yesh chotim, some hope. That's the first shittah. But a yesh chotim is dovrim. There are others who disagree. The im yadu rashim nechonim l'shakam shim shochad. The moment that particular goyisha akor has a reputation for Shochad, Yotze Mikhal Akkor. They lose the whole status of Akkor. In our eyes, they're illegitimate. Therefore, even on an item in which we are reasonably sure that there was no Shochad, there was no bribery, we still wouldn't accept them because they lost their status as official Akkor in our eyes. שהרדח יסוד נמונות הכל, משום למער הנפשאי, והבויסט משוחד מהנפש משוחד. זה לא זה שוחד. לפי כוח דינם תהדיה, יש לי לא נפגע. Another story, as he says, not concluded with now, another story he says, it's a very interesting psychological observation. And he brings also from the Dinner of Chaim,
child to see what they were having. It's a profound psychological insight. If a person has a devil that he will fortify, even if it is most of the time for Shoshan, you can't trust him even on Shoshan, because to him lying is not a problem anymore. If a woman will come and say, look, do me a favor, I have to get married, and I don't have, he will give that even without Shoshan. In other words, if he is malumit, if he is habituated, he's falsifying, even if it's only for money most of the time. But then he may do it for other reasons. It's a good neighbor, it's a friend, it's one hand versus the other, he has story for that particular person. In other words, Sheker doesn't mean anything to him anymore. It's therefore the Devachan says, I don't care whether this is a case in which Shoshan is not involved. It could be even human pity, something as good as that. I don't. Therefore, he says, once they habitually bow the Shoshan, forget about it. Okay, gentlemen, that's what I mean. So we are meeting in 2 weeks. The next week, Mr. Malbi, in warmer climate, hopefully, in London.